Hello, welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, reminding you to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. My co-host, Kevin Passaro, and I will be alternating shows, and these shows are dedicated to your health, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and exercise. I want to remind you that the show is also streamed through myvillagegreen.com. A little bit about our topics today. We'll be talking about dementia, type 3 diabetes, and I didn't make a mistake there, not type 1 or type 2. We will talk a little about those, but we are going to introduce the information on the new type of diabetes called type 3 diabetes, and we'll talk about lifestyle medications and lifestyle medicine. Our guest with us today is Deanna Minich, and she will be talking to us about these subjects. She's a clinical nutritionist, and she's with Metagenics Incorporated, so I look forward to hearing what she has to say on these subjects. I also want to remind you to get over to Village Green. There's 30% off on Pathway products, 25% off on all other brands, including practitioner brands, and 20% off on body care products. Now, this sale ends July 15th, so hurry over there, give them a call. They're on West Cedar Lane. Good sale. I also wanted to let you know what's ahead. A wonderful show that Kevin Passaro is going to do, talking with Rick Scalzo, an herbalist and founder of Gaia Herbs. And they're going to discuss organic farming and making phytomedicines, plant medicines, with the highest degree of quality and integrity. So please tune in, and that will be next week's show. So let's get on with news you can use. And I'm sticking to the topics here of diabetes and dementia. A few little tidbits. Depression and diabetes. Omega-3 fatty acids actually have been shown to protect against depression among those with type 2 diabetes. Now, let's just recap here. Type 1 diabetics have damage to the islet cells of the pancreas, which then do not produce insulin. This is considered genetic, and it usually has early onset. Type 2 has been called adult onset, although I've always called it acquired. And type 2 is occurring at earlier and earlier ages, and it may or may not involve the use of insulin. So on type 2 diabetes, omega-3 fatty acids have been found to be protective against depression. So that's an important factor. I think if you've been listening to the news, not just on this show, but in general, most people are aware of the beneficial effects of omega-3 fatty acids on mood, mind, and memory. So it's logical that it would improve depression, not just in diabetics, but certainly in many other kinds of conditions. Now, what about dementia? Cognitive function is what dementia involves, a loss of cognitive function. So fish may protect against dementia. And this was a huge study involving 7 countries and 14,960 people. That's almost 15,000 people. And the findings of the study indicated an inverse relationship between fish consumption and dementia, meaning the higher the fish consumption, the lower the dementia. The lower the fish consumption, the higher the dementia. And that's a pretty impressive study, and especially going through many countries. So another tidbit you can take home, and if anybody's interested in the kinds of fish to consume, you could actually email me at danalake@aol.com or through my website, www.danalake.com, and that's 2 A's in lake, and I'll send you the fishy facts. Generally, the big old fish are the damaging fish. They're the ones that are loaded with toxins. That's tuna, blue, sword, halibut, the large old fish. Now, if you consume tuna, the light tuna has less mercury because it comes from a younger fish. The best fish of all, sardines. I know they're smelly, but they are healthy. They're high in calcium because of the bones. Definitely consume sardines. Okay, a few more tidbits. Omega-3 fatty acid supplementation can reduce homocysteine in diabetic patients. Now, what's interesting about this, you've heard a lot about homocysteine. It's a naturally occurring metabolite in our metabolic processes. So we expect to see it in the blood and in the urine in small amounts. But in those who are deficient in B12, folic acid, and or B6, homocysteine can be elevated. That is why there is the current push for people to get adequate B vitamins, especially B12, folic acid, and B6. But here we have another dietary impact, that omega-3 fatty acid supplements can also reduce homocysteine in diabetics. And I thought that was a very interesting study. And it was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study. And it involved only 81 patients with type 2 diabetes. And they were given omega-3 fatty acids for a period of 2 months. And that significantly reduced levels of homocysteine. And I find that very interesting because it has not been something that has been connected in the literature before. So we find more and more good reasons to consume healthy fish and keep our omega-3 fatty acids, our fatty acid levels, good. I remind you that margarine consumption over the generations has impaired directly both omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids. So we are a culture who has consumed, by and large, since the 30s, margarines. And that has a multi-generational effect. Even if you stop consuming the margarine, it still affects your children and grandchildren. It's called epigenetics. Okay, here's a tidbit for you chocolate lovers. I love this. I was scanning the most current research that's been released, so you're going to love this. Consumption of chocolate enriched with GABA may exert a psychological stress-reducing effect. Now, chocolate, it has phenylethylamine in it. We call it phony dopamine, so it has some feel-good effect. It isn't long-lasting, but what is interesting is by adding GABA, and we've talked about this on the show, gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA, G-A-B-A. This is an amino acid that is also a neurotransmitter, and it's the anti-anxiety neurotransmitter. So I found it interesting that they put some GABA, and not a lot, in with the chocolate. And the assessment was a stress assessment using heart rate variability and salivary chromogranin A, which is just a marker for stress. And it was found to exert, this combination was found to exert a psychological stress-reducing effect. The subjects ingested about 10 grams of chocolate enriched with 28 milligrams of GABA. That is a very low amount of GABA. When we use it therapeutically, we use 100 to 500 milligrams and sometimes more. Then 15 minutes after ingestion, the subjects were assigned an arithmetic task for 15 minutes. And they measured the changes in heart rate variability and the salivary stress marker, which is an acute marker for acute psychological stress. So the ingestion of GABA chocolate was associated with a quick recovery from stressful to normal state after task completion. And the authors of this concluded that GABA chocolate was considered to have a psychological stress-reducing effect. So I love this. I hope all you chocolate lovers feel validated after listening to this. And then a little bit about diabetes and magnesium. We hear so much about diet and diabetes, but I'm just reminding you that magnesium deficiency is a common finding in diabetes. And the insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus is the one I want to talk about with regard to magnesium deficiency. And magnesium is an extremely important mineral. It is used by 300 or more enzymes. About three-fourths of the enzymes in the body are magnesium-dependent. It affects all the M words: mood, mind, memory, menstrual, myocardium, that's your heart, muscles, and energy metabolism. It also affects the bowels. If you have low magnesium, you're prone to constipation. If you have too much magnesium, you can get diarrhea. So it is self-limiting. And what's most important about magnesium is that everywhere ATP is needed, and that's our body electricity, what we generate in our cells, all of those enzymes that require body electricity, ATP, also require magnesium. And almost all of those enzyme functions that require magnesium also require B6. So you see, it really is a team effort. You can't look at these nutrients singularly, like assessing a hand by assessing each finger individually. What you'll find out is that each finger alone is not very functional, but when you put them together and you've got four fingers and a thumb, you've got a very functional unit. Well, it's the same way with nutrients. So what was found is that when diabetics go into ketoacidosis, when they make ketones in the urine, and of course they do urine testing for that, magnesium loss is significant. And it can be life-threatening because people can develop myocardial magnesium loss. What does that mean? The heart tissues, the heart muscle tissues, lose magnesium, and that then disturbs the heart's ability to pump blood, and it can lead to a heart attack. I've experienced a number of patients in their 30s and 40s who have heart attacks who have no plaque and no cholesterol levels by very intense testing. But what they did have was low magnesium. And when magnesium is low, vessels spasm, muscles spasm. If it's in your leg, you get a Charlie horse or a cramp. If it's in your jaw, you may get it during TMJ or when you're having bruxism or grinding your teeth because you're under stress. During the menstrual period, if magnesium is low, you'll get cramps and they'll be significant. In the heart, we'll get arrhythmias, which is a faulty heart rhythm. And as I said, if it spasms in the heart, we've got a heart attack. If the vessel spasms in the brain, you've got a stroke. So most people are not aware that low magnesium puts you at high risk for heart attacks, high blood pressure, arrhythmias, and what depletes magnesium the most? Diuretics. And diuretics are often prescribed for lowering blood pressure. But giving potassium won't protect magnesium. So many people are put on a potassium-sparing diuretic. And before potassium decreases, magnesium decreases first. So we've gone round robin with the importance of magnesium in the body and how it can be depleted in diabetics who are not in good control. And then it increases the risk for heart attacks and arrhythmias. I hope you're finding this interesting and that you've got this news that you can use. I want to remind you, when you come back, we'll be talking more about dementia, type 3 diabetes, that's the new type, and lifestyle medicines with Deanna Minich. Please stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to The Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro to bring you a wide variety of information about your health. And today we have a guest with us, Deanna Minich, and she's Director of Information, Integration, and Innovation with Metagenics. She's a clinical nutritionist and a PhD. Welcome to the show, Deanna.
Hi, Dana. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being here. I explained a little bit about diabetes, but I want you to go into the details because you're going to tell us about type 3 diabetes, which most people have never heard of. And then we're going to talk about dementias and weave in their lifestyle medicines. So I'll let you take on this new topic of type 3 diabetes.
Sure. So I first would like to kind of paint a picture for your audience. You know, many of us think as we get older that, you know, we have one of many destinies. And one destiny that most people do not want to go down the trajectory of is really ending up more or less in a vegetative state, not being able to really live life fully, not being functional, not really having all of their mind. And in fact, that's a huge fear of many people. And there was a survey recently through the HBO Alzheimer's Project, which is really an incredible website if any of your listeners get a chance to look at that. But more than 50% of the U.S. population has been touched in some way by Alzheimer's. And so many people, one in three people, are really concerned about developing dementia or Alzheimer's disease.
I would agree that it is what frightens people. They're willing to do just about anything to avoid it, because once they get it, they feel they're going down that path, and it's not something you come back from.
Exactly. And the way it looks, it's kind of like a continuum. So, you know, when we first start to lose our memory a little bit, that can progress into what's called mild cognitive impairment. So some further changes take place in the brain, in our cognition. Then eventually that can go into dementia. And then there are actually a number of different types of dementias, but the most common one is Alzheimer's disease. So that's really what's being looked at a lot in the literature. And I believe the Alzheimer's Association states that one in six people have Alzheimer's disease or will develop some form of dementia.
You know, that's a frightening statistic.
It is frightening, especially because it's on the rise. With all the baby boomers that are aging, for those that are not taking care of themselves and not really having a good, active, healthy lifestyle, they're going to be more prone to things like dementia. And loss of vision and loss of the mind are two of the greatest fears of people as they get older. So I definitely hope to give your listeners lots of great tips on how we can overcome this and how you can really sit in the seat of power when it comes to changing the health and the aging capacity of your brain.
Well, I think we ought to dive right into it. I think your introduction is too tantalizing.
Yeah.
And I think we should do that. But please give me the name of that website again so our listeners can check that one out.
Yes, there is, if you just Google the HBO Alzheimer's Project, and if it's on the HBO website, it's www.hbo.com, and then it's easier, rather than give you the full listing
yes.
for the website, you just do a search on the website for Alzheimer's Project, you'll come up with this incredible survey and interactive videos that they have. It was just actually recently done in the early part of this year. So it's very recent information.
Good, good.
And if my intro wasn't tantalizing enough, when people look at this, they'll definitely be sparked into action.
Well, good. So how can we recognize that dementia is starting? What are the preventive things that people can do?
Yeah, well, the first thing I just want to mention before we so that people don't get, feeling overwhelmed or kind of in fear mode after listening to those initial comments. The beauty of this is that what we now know about the brain is that it is plastic, that this term of neuroplasticity is becoming used by the National Institute of Health and in other organizations that are researching brain aging. And what we're finding is that it's not how much brain real estate you have, it's really how you use it. So the brain is always, it's capable of rewiring, regenerating, reconnecting, and replacing nerve cells, which is a good thing because back when I was in school, what I was taught was whatever brain you have, that's it. You're stuck. You're hardwired. You can't change it. You kill your nerve cells. That's it. But now what we know, thank goodness, is that the brain is actually quite malleable, and we can do a lot of things to change the aging of our brain.
You know, you're giving away your age a bit in saying that, because that was my education as well, that it was formed by birth, and then after a while they said, well, by two, and then by five, and then they're still working on the brain can still improve into the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And as I start talking about the lifestyle a little bit, I'll cite a study where people, even as they were mentally progressed and had cognitive decline, they were able to change their progression into Alzheimer's disease just by changing their diet. But yeah, there is a lot of variability in how people age their brains. And there was a very, very interesting study by Dr. Bruce Yankner at Harvard at the Department of Neurology and Neuroscience. And he basically looked at 30 individuals. These were postmortem brains. And he looked at the gene expression and DNA damage in these different brains. And the brains went anywhere from age 26 to age 106. And you can see that a lot of genes are heating up and active and healthy in the younger years. And then in the older years, I would say probably from 70s to on up to 106, what we see is a lot of cooling down of brain activity. But right in the middle there, and I would say probably from the mid-30s up into 70, what we see is incredible variation in how genes are expressed in the brain, which tells us that there's a lot of variability in how our genes are interacting with our environment, and therefore a lot of control that we can have in what we do. So there's this whole idea of brain fitness. You know, we think of exercising our bodies, but we don't often think of exercising our brain. And one place to start is right there, is trying to figure out how do we get out of ruts, whether it's our thinking ruts, whether it's our physical ruts, whether it's our food ruts. The more apt you are to be open-minded and expansive about your thinking about things and the different foods, getting lots of variety, trying out new things, the more pathways that will form in the brain and will give you more options so that you're not stuck if certain things die out in the brain or, you know, stop lighting up, you're able to shunt things over to a different whole network of neurons. So it's most important to be really flexible.
Well, I like what you say, and this is a old term, but use it or lose it. It's just like
Absolutely. The
muscles.
Absolutely.
So what tips do you have for the listeners? I always like that they can listen to this show and immediately do something beneficial.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is it's a lot about insulin. And so the first thing is really to balance your blood sugar. And there are lots of ways to do that, because what we're finding now is that there's type 1 diabetes, which is basically, you know, a very small percentage of all the people that get diabetes, but that's essentially an insulin-dependent diabetes. The type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle disease, and that basically has to do with the lack of the body to be sensitive to insulin anymore, and that's a whole metabolic disturbance. Now we have type 3 diabetes, which is a term that was coined by Dr. Suzanne Kraft at the University of Washington. And basically what has happened, the brain is amazing because it's only 2% of our body weight, but it consumes up to 30% of the glucose that we take in as fuel. And so the brain is going to be very sensitive to glucose levels. So if our glucose is too low, our blood sugar is too low, we're not going to be able to think, to focus, to concentrate. And as we get older, what happens is our insulin glucose balance starts to change and starts to become even more imbalanced if we're not careful. And so what happens is in the brain, insulin levels actually go down. And insulin is connected to things like amyloid protein production, to the function of the neurons, to neurotransmitter flow. So it's really important to take care of overall body glucose and insulin. And one of the ways that we can do that through diet is by eating foods that are low in glycemic index. And so foods that are low in glycemic index have a low impact on the blood sugar. Those would be things like legumes, for example, lentils, hummus, edamame, which are just simply green soybeans, various other types of beans, whether garbanzo beans, cannellini beans, you name it, black beans. Another one would be vegetables. There are a number of low glycemic index vegetables. Whole grains, a lot of the whole grains, whether it's barley or instead of white rice, getting brown rice. So a lot of this sounds like very basic information, which in fact much of it is. It's just very difficult sometimes to implement that information.
Well, you're validating what we talk about on the show a lot, and I'm glad that you emphasize the beans. I always throw in there the nuts and seeds. And
yes,
the importance when we say whole grains, I try to explain to people that it's not the refined flour, grains, and breads and pastas that we want. It's the real cream of wheat, real oatmeal, muesli, brown rice. So thank you for validating this. And I think the more people hear it, the more they'll learn. And we are going to take a brief break. I just want to remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Deanna Minich, and we're talking about dementia, the new type 3 diabetes, and we're talking about lifestyle medicine. So please stay with us on the Essentials of Healthy Living. We will be right back after this break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the show, alternating these shows with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We're trying to bring you a wide variety of information about your health. And today we're talking with Deanna Minich, who is a clinical nutritionist and a PhD. She's with Metagenics, and we are talking on the subjects of dementia, insulin control, type 3 diabetes, and lifestyle medicine. And we've been talking about dementia, and I just wanted to point out some of the nutrients found to be deficient in dementias, including Alzheimer's, are folates and the B vitamin, folic acid, B12, B6, vitamin D, and EPA and DHA. We talk about omega-3s a lot. And along with diabetes and dementia, omega-3s have a beneficial effect on macular degeneration. So again, when we talk about nutrients, we're not talking about singular effects. Most of the time, we're talking about broad improvements. Welcome back to the show, Deanna.
Thank you.
Well, let's keep going with our topic.
Yeah. You know, we left off talking about grains, and I really just wanted to make a comment about that before we move on to another tip. What I see in the literature and what I see in practice is that gluten-containing grains may or may not perturb cognition, especially for people that are gluten intolerant or gluten sensitive or even have celiac disease. And sometimes when people eat gluten, what can happen is they experience that kind of feeling of brain fog, or that they can't focus, they can't concentrate. And in some of these grains, especially, you know, whether it's the gluten-containing grains or even some of the other ones, what happens when, for example, a piece of bread is toasted is that we get the formation of non-enzymatic browning products, which are called advanced glycation end products, or AGEs. And these advanced glycation end products have been found to be concentrated in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. And these AGEs, these advanced glycation end products, seem to connect into receptors on cells and upregulate inflammation. So if you're eating things that are overcooked, baked, burnt, fried, chances are you're getting a lot of those advanced glycation end products. So you really want to be aware of how you're cooking your foods or whether you're cooking your foods. Bacon is one of the highest AGE-containing foods that there are. Pizza, a fried chicken breast. If you're eating fast food, it's just loaded. The French fries, the beef, all of that is really loaded with a lot of these advanced glycation end products. And so one thing I told one of my patients who was having a hard time not eating these foods is that these age products actually age you. And when I said that, he really took note, and, you know, that kind of scared him. And so I think if we can remember that these burnt, toasted, fried foods, they simply do that to us on the inside, then it may be easier to remember.
I really like the way you emphasize this with the AGEs, because I've always thought that it was an easy acronym for remembering what these things do. They release free radicals. They're damaging to tissues. But I think you honed in on how damaging.
Yes, they're quite damaging. So here's something on the opposite end that is very nourishing and good and healing for the brain. Blueberries. And in fact, just berries in general, but blueberries and Dr. James Joseph and others, Dr. Willis and some others have done some incredible work on feeding animals berry extracts and then looking at what happens to their learning, to their memory. And then they even have found that the blueberry compounds go into specific areas inside the brain, which control certain functions. And strawberry compounds seem to go in different parts of the brain than do blueberry compounds. And these parts of the brain are corresponding to different aspects of learning.
So they're both beneficial?
They're both beneficial. And when they calculated roughly the human equivalent, it looked like something along the lines of half a cup to one cup of blueberries per day and about a pint of strawberries per day.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but you know, if we get a smoothie in the morning, you don't even realize all the fruit that you're getting, and you can just toss it in there with even a little bit of fish oil, and I like light coconut milk, and then I usually toss in a medical food of some sort, some type of powdered product that already has a built-in vitamin, mineral, core, and protein.
And tell us some of the Metagenics medical foods.
Sure. The one that would be great for promoting healthy insulin function in the body and healthy glucose balance is one called UltraMeal Plus 360. So we have, this product is really amazing. We've done a clinical study on it, and right now we're doing a larger clinical trial in three different university settings. And we're just finding fantastic results. And when we take the product and we couple it then with a Mediterranean-style diet and some exercise, just really phenomenal, great results in people's blood lipids, in their body composition, and in their overall glucose balance in their body. So I really like to have that shake in the morning because then I know I'm off to a good start. And if people aren't eating breakfast, you can't expect to really prime your brain with the materials it needs to really function well throughout the day, especially for children at school.
Well, this is good advice because some people are willing to do smoothies, and you mentioned adding the blueberries and strawberries. They can also add the vegetables and
Absolutely.
Get a nice
yeah.
vegetable or some of the green powders to make a really nutritional smoothie. I like the Metagenics UltraMeal Plus. How much fiber is in that?
I believe it's about 4 grams of fiber.
Which is excellent, and then when people add more of the berries and the vegetables, it'll boost that fiber content.
Yes, and you'd be surprised how much fiber berries have. Like blackberries, for example, one cup of blackberries has the same amount of fiber as half a cup of black beans, I believe. It's about 8 grams, what I remember. So you're getting lots of fiber right in that smoothie, and you're not even realizing it. And I've also tossed into my smoothie, believe it or not, spinach, fresh
Excellent.
Spinach. And you don't even realize it because spinach has a relatively neutral flavor.
Yes.
And it gets really finely chopped in there with the smoothie. You don't even know it. And spinach is another one of those brain-healthy nutrients that has been studied as well by Dr. Joseph's group, along with the blueberries and strawberries.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take another brief break, and then we're going to give our listeners a lot of these tips, a lot more tips. So if you listen carefully, if you want dementia, eat as many fried foods, bacon, toasted, burnt, and overcooked meats. And I'm being facetious here. We'll talk more about the UltraMeal Plus and some of the foods that are protective when we come back. You're listening to Dana Lake. I'm your host and Deanna Minich. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to The Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the show, reminding you to tune in next week for Dr. Kevin Pissarro, who will be talking about herbs. So make sure you tune in next week. And we're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We've been talking with Deanna Minich, PhD, clinical nutritionist with Metagenics, and we've been talking about dementia, insulin control, and what I'd like you to do is focus, and some people are just tuning in, Deanna, so could you talk to them a little bit about the type 3 diabetes and what it means, and then let's go back to tidbits of how to avoid dementias, how to keep glucose stable, and more lifestyle hints.
Absolutely. So type 3 diabetes is a new term that was coined by Dr. Kraft at the University of Washington. And so the brain is very sensitive to glucose and insulin. It consumes a lot of glucose that we take in as energy. It's the preferred fuel for the brain. So when our glucose levels are off in our body, if we're hypoglycemic or if we have insulin resistance, our cells are not as sensitive to insulin anymore, this actually also gets felt within the brain matter. And so what happens is even if we have high insulin levels in the body, the brain starts to change its insulin dynamics and, in fact, lowers the amount of insulin in the brain, which is not a good thing because it doesn't then enable the glucose to work well within the brain. And so this whole idea of the insulin changes in the brain with aging and with cognitive decline has been called type 3 diabetes. And so some of the things that we talked about so far to help the brain is number one, to make sure you're getting some activity and moving yourself out of ruts and keeping plastic and flexible with your thinking, doing those little Sudoku puzzles or crossword puzzles, whatever it takes mentally, physically getting some exercise, getting some aerobic activity so that, again, the circulation is flowing, you're getting good oxygen and nutrients to the brain. And then number three, we've spent most of our time really focusing on foods and what we can do there. And one of the things that we did talk about as a positive was berries, blueberries, strawberries. We talked about spinach. And in fact, I want to recommend to your listeners, I've come up with this recipe for what I call the brain salad.
Great.
Okay, so the brain salad, and I actually like to have this for lunch. So people are always wondering, well, where am I going to fit all these foods in? Well, here's one way to do it. Have a nice dark green leafy salad, and make sure, again, the darker the green, the better. You're getting more lutein, which is good for the macula, will help prevent macular degeneration, also contains chlorophyll and lots of other nutrients. So you want to get dark green like spinach. And then you weave in there some salmon. If you eat fish, a little bit of salmon so you get some protein and that you also get some omega-3s, very, very healthy for the brain. In fact, the brain is 60% fat. And so if we've got these nice flowing fluid fats, the omega-3s, it's going to make for the neurotransmitters flowing nice and steady and easily from neuron to neuron. It'll be great for the brain. Then to add some slices of avocado, because avocado is rich in monounsaturated fat. That's the good, healthy fat that we also find in olive oil, and that's part of the Mediterranean diet. And people that follow the Mediterranean diet actually have reduced cognitive impairment, so that's a good thing. And then we put in some walnut pieces. And if you look at the walnut, a half of a walnut, you'll notice that it looks like a brain.
Yes, it does.
So that's a little sign and a reminder that, oh, this is brain food.
It is.
And then sprinkle a couple of berries, whether raspberries, some strawberry slices, blueberries. And then you can use a dressing of olive oil. And I like to put curry into the olive oil and mix that in because curry is an incredible antioxidant, and it prevents the buildup of amyloid. Amyloid is a sticky protein, and amyloid plaques are connected to Alzheimer's disease. So if we can get some more curry into as a spice into how we're eating, I think that's fabulous.
You know, this is wonderful. You're actually talking about a lunch that I eat almost every day, but I did not know about the curry. And I'm glad to hear that. I'm not, and the reason I probably didn't know it is that I've not been a fan of curry, though I've recognized that it has antioxidant potential. It's just individual tastes. So I want to encourage people to add the curry. That's so easy to do.
It sure is. And if you don't like curry, what you may want to try is ginger or rosemary. Those are also very potent antioxidants. And you know, they taste good. They give that additional zing. And spices, I think we overlook the medicinal property of spices. and maybe with your guest on your next show when you talk about botanicals, you can kind of get into this. But they're so intense. They have so many different bioactives, so many things that impact the physiology. And in fact, we do a lot of research here at Metagenics where we look at things like rosemary and ginger and things like even we look at other plants too. Like there's one tree that grows in Africa and in Asia, and it's called acacia, Acacia nilotica. And it's kind of a broad bush kind of a tree, and native people eat parts of that tree after having a meal. And so it would seem that it probably has some medicinal effects after a meal. And when we studied it, what we found is this acacia material helps to promote insulin balance in the body. And we now have this in one of our products called Insinase.
Insinase.
So yeah.
Excellent.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the research and what the effects are.
Sure. We've done lots of work on Insinase. We've done cell work, and so we've got scientists at our research campus, which is in Gig Harbor, Washington, who actually work on the bench. They do all these screening tests, and we've taken those Insinase compounds. There are just two different plants that we've put together, Acacia nilotica, and then we also put in a hops compound, and we tested those two together in different ratios in an animal model, a diabetic, obese animal model, to see if we can really impact their insulin and their glucose levels. And lo and behold, we were able to found that a specific ratio of 5-1 of the hops to the acacia was very efficacious in really reducing their insulin levels, bringing them back into normal, and promoting glucose balance as well. Also tested this. We've put that into our Ultra Meal Plus medical food so that patients don't have to remember to take their medical food plus an Insinase tablet. You can actually take it all together in one product, and that's called Ultra Meal Plus 360. If it's got the 360 after the name, it means that it's got these special plant compounds which help to repair and correct our underlying insulin glucose physiology.
You have explained that so well, and I'm so glad for you to bring up the Insinase and the hops and acacia, because this is relatively new, and we haven't talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
So this is totally new. Any other quick tidbits before we have to go?
Well, just real quick, Metagenics has one other product that's specific for cognitive impairment, so your listeners really want to hear about this. It works on reducing beta amyloid in the brain, promoting good, healthy brain tissue, increasing antioxidant activity. It's called Cognisure. And there's a specific high proline polypeptide blend from colostrum that has a very small dose. It has been tested in at least 3 clinical trials in people with Alzheimer's disease or cognitive impairment. And the people that take it get better. So there's actually a great nutraceutical already out there for reducing cognitive impairment and helping Alzheimer's disease patients to become more functional.
And it's called Cognisure.
Cognisure, yep.
And what form is it? Powder, capsules?
It's actually in a really tasty chocolate chewable. And so it comes in a blister pack, and you just have to remember to take it every day.
Okay, well, if it's chocolate, and we mentioned that early on the show, the nice effect that chocolate and GABA have on reducing stress. So we've gone from beginning to end, and I want to thank you, Deanna, for being here. It was very, very helpful. Good information.
Oh. Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Dana.
Okay. Well, listeners, thank you for tuning in. I do want to remind you to get in touch with Village Green. They've got that sale going on right now, and it only lasts until July 15th. So they have a fabulous sale on their products. And go green with Village Green. Go to the website, myvillagegreen.com, and you can learn how you can get and share green energy with Village Green. So I just want to remind you that we're here every Saturday morning, and you will hear Kevin Passaro next Saturday. Please tune in with us for the essentials of healthy living. Remember to take care of yourself and at least one other person. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a great day.